We're live.
I love WordPress and I've been working with it for about 5 years. I've done lots of sites for clients, created themes and plugins, and now I work with mobile apps. Selling WordPress-based products is an interesting beast. On one hand, I love it because it's always exciting to innovate and sell what you created. And you can make money while you sleep and you're your own boss, and products are just fun to me. On the other hand, it's incredibly difficult to determine what product will be successful, no matter what type of experience you have. You can make one product that's a hit, and your next one flops, and it's hard to know why. But one thing I know is that no matter how hard it is, it's like an addiction, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to quit. I've been pushing the boundaries of what's possible with WordPress in my newest project called AppPressor, bringing mobile apps to WordPress. Right now, WordPress powers 20% of the web. Maybe someday it'll power 20% of all apps. I'm Scott Bollinger, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drag.
For the Dradcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
Man, all 14 listeners today. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. It's episode 36 of Dradcast, and coming off of last week's run with Maria Scarpello, I am living in an RV now. How the hell are you, Bradford?
Oh, man, I'm surviving. You know what? I already hate you and Scott because you guys both have amazing weather and I do not. So I hate you both. That's great to be back on, man.
Man,
loving it.
You've
got a
chance.
Great show. Go ahead, Dre.
Fire away there, sweet cheeks. Fire away.
I said we had a really awesome show last week. I'm ready to do it again this week. And this week we have none other than Scott Bollinger. Scott, what's up, man?
Hey, the sun. That's what's up.
You know, it's like his name right, Bollinger, like a tiger. Is that's how he explained it. I haven't forgot it since. So.
You're like a tiger.
Awesome. Well, we're excited to have you on, and we're going to have some really fun topics to dive into tonight.
Yep.
With that, I want to know what you guys are drinking on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Well, you may be drinking on some. I'll be sipping on something, my friend. and this week, I'm going to be sipping on a little Stella action, so nice cold Stella. Keeping it light.
Yeah, I love when I forget our own segment names. Sipping on. Scott, what are you sipping on over there?
I'm drinking representing Southern California hops with the Stone IPA. This is about the minimum amount of hops that I like to drink. Usually, go for the real strong stuff.
You like the double bastard, I bet, then.
The double bastard. You know, Ruination, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Man, Stone makes some good drinks, and they're big out here in Philly, too. They're pretty big all over, I think. I am drinking a back to my own porter, my PC porter that I made. So it's a great drink for a rainy night.
Man.
Cheers, fellas.
Some good beers. Cheers. Well, holy cow, this should be a good show. I'm excited to have you. Well, the West Coast representing tonight, so I can always appreciate that. Let's get to it. I want to chat a little bit about, Scott, where you're at today. But first and foremost, let's talk a bit about where you started from and how you got involved with WordPress. So development stuff, let's talk a bit about that. Where'd you start out? How'd that kick off?
Sure. Well, I actually got hired. One of my second jobs out of college was as a graphic designer. And so I was just doing graphics, and I remember when they hired me, they kind of said, "Hey, what about? How do you feel about like web stuff?" And I'm like, "I'm okay at it, but I don't really know much." And throughout the course of that job, it was like a couple years, I went from graphic designer pretty much full time to pretty much full time web guy. And in that process, I learned about WordPress and started really liking it. And actually, the first time that I encountered WordPress, I just had absolutely no idea what was going on with anything. And I actually posted an ad on, I think it was Craigslist or something like that, to pay someone to help me install WordPress. And I was how much is this going to cost me? And I heard back from some guy, and he's like, He's like, I'll do it for $5. And I'm like, $5? I'm missing something because I didn't realize it was going to be that easy. I thought it was like some major deal. So, and I had no idea like how PHP worked. I remember one time when I moved a site, it was an HTML site, and we were moving it like to WordPress. Or no, sorry, the other way around. It was like a PHP site, like custom PHP site. And we were moving it to static HTML, and I actually emailed the web designer, and I was like, do I need to like change something on the server because like, you know, I'm not using PHP anymore? Like, how does this work? I was just totally clueless at first. And so anyways, that was like last week. And so
I see what you did there.
So no, but then yeah, so eventually, you know, I learned web design at that job, and then kind of got paid to learn about WordPress and things like that, which was awesome. It was a small business, and I got to learn kind of how a small business worked and what everything was like as far as like the payroll and the money and the getting clients and all this kind of stuff. I got to kind of see how a small business worked, which is a great experience for me when I eventually set out to just start on my own doing client work. So eventually, I did client work for a while, and then eventually I started PressCoders. I just kind of saw themes, people were doing well with them. I was kind of like, hey, I want to do that too. So had fun designing themes, and we've been doing PressCoders for, I think, since like late 2010 or something like that, and just been selling premium themes, and we started out kind of in a fitness niche because my previous boss was a fitness guy, and he had a big email list, and he would promote our theme. So we started out with a theme called FitPro, and it actually did really well, and it's to this day, it's still one of our better-selling themes, and it's, yeah, so with PressCoders, so now we've been doing PressCoders for a while, and I've learned a lot through that business, and we've done quite a few themes. We have Designfolio, which is on the WordPress.org repo, which has over 100,000 downloads. That's our best-selling theme, and we're actually very soon looking to get onto a very large multi-site installation of WordPress that everyone has heard of. That's not an official announcement or anything, but that is definitely coming up. And yeah, so then PressCoders. So do you want me to get into @presser or no?
I want to hear a little bit more about PressCoders and kind of the dive into the premium space, because you said you started around 2010, which it wasn't nearly as saturated market like it is today in 2010, right? I mean, that was still, I feel like that was where premium themes, there were some big names out there, but it was still, there weren't a lot of companies doing it. I think there were still a handful of companies doing it. So when you first launched, I mean, did you see immediate success? Did it take a while to ramp up? I mean, how did it go when you first started out?
So when I first started with PressCoders, I didn't really know much of anything about like the WordPress community. I wasn't real involved in like WordCamps or local meetups or anything like that. I was just kind of a guy who designed WordPress stuff and did themes for clients. And I kind of wanted to make a product and just dive into being an entrepreneur that way. And so when we first started, we actually launched to a niche audience, which was the fitness professionals. So we made a theme that was specifically for one niche, and we launched to that niche through an affiliate, basically, who had a huge email list of like 20,000 fitness pros on his list. And that actually ended up being a really good idea, I think, to start, because if we had just launched like a generic WordPress theme, I don't think it would have done very well. And but you're right, even back then, it was a very saturated market, and now even more so. And it's really, really hard to make a name for yourself or to get any kind of traction in the theme market these days.
I mean, now it's practically impossible. I mean, unless you're going through some big marketplace like ThemeForest or, you know, align yourself with someone like StudioPress to do some third-party themes. I mean, it's almost impossible to be noticed if you're a new theme shop.
Yeah, and even through ThemeForest, I feel like you're still getting lost in the mix. I don't have any experience with ThemeForest, so I can't really say, but they take a huge chunk of your profits, so that's why I've never ventured with them. But I know some people are doing it very successfully. So, but I think we actually launched several different themes and all with varying degrees of success. And what I found is that the specific type of theme that you make and what you call it and who you market it to actually makes a huge difference. And so, for example, like our theme Designfolio has been very successful, I think, because a lot of people are just looking for portfolio type themes. And it's weird because we build other themes that have similar functionality, but they're just called something different and maybe not marketed to that specific portfolio type audience or whatever, and they don't have as much success. And, you know, we have a theme on WordPress.org that has over 100,000 downloads, and we have one released shortly after that one that has, like, I don't know, less than 10,000 downloads, I think. I haven't checked in a while. But and it's, like, same company, same type of features, stuff like that. So it's just the whole premium theme game is, like, it's a whole beast in itself, even within the type of themes that you make and who you market them to.
What about, let's talk about support, because I think support's one of those items that when you first get into selling any kind of premium product, you may think it's a little bit easier to tackle than in reality it is. What was your experience with support? Obviously, when you first start, there's not a whole lot, but then as you start to grow and you have, you know, themes with quite a few downloads, that can be a big burden. So how was your experience with support when you first started out?
Support has always been probably one of the hardest parts of running a product business, and I think pretty much anyone can testify to that. We started out with forums and using like BB Press, or no, we were actually on the vanilla forums or something like that, and that was okay. But there's just a lot of support, and especially it depends on your audience. Like we targeted a fitness audience, and these are fitness people who are not computer people. And so they have actually an extra bit of handholding that they need to get their site up. And so part of it that I didn't expect when I first started was if someone buys a theme from you, they expect you to teach them how to use WordPress part of the time too. And so they'll be like, I don't know how to like make this widget appear. I don't even know what this page is doing here. I don't even know how to edit my sidebar, all this kind of stuff.
That's got to be tough because you have to draw the line somewhere, but you also don't want to come off and say, sorry, I'm not supporting you even though you just paid me money.
So. Well, that speaks a bit to scalability, right? Like how do you scale support with the growth of your business? Because if you don't, then certainly it's going to affect the other parts of your business, whether people even make the jump to go purchase in a lot of instances because they want that support. They know they don't have that technical understanding to be able to get through it without some type of support, and they're willing to pay for that. I found that self-help is a good way to kind of augment your support resources when you're trying to scale. And maybe talk to that a bit. Have you guys tried to do anything like tutorials and things like that to supplement what you do from a support perspective?
Yeah, tutorials are huge. So I do a lot of video tutorials and have them as far as like setting up the theme. And those are great. People love them. And you really need those when someone says, hey, I don't know how to change the like this thing in my header. And you're like, okay, well, that's a header widget. And like I have a video for that of how to edit that. Or they're like, I don't know how to set up the slider on my homepage. And you're like, okay, well, we have a video for that because you have to use like a custom post type. Then you have to put in like a widget or use a page template or whatever. It's a little bit complicated if you don't know how to use WordPress. So, yeah, you send them to a video, and then...
I'll do it for $5.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I mean, I've seen some pretty large theme shops out there doing that, and publicly, right? So all of this stuff is searchable, and it becomes a big resource for anybody, you know, trying to do more complex things even when it comes to, let's say, hooks and things like that inside of the theme to changing stuff around when you have videos and you have resources out there. So publicly doing that as the provider, I mean, that's a helpful way to help scale.
It could be a marketing tool as much as a support tool, right?
Certainly.
That's, like you said, good content, whether they're, you know, if it's specific to your product or not, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just, like you said, generic WordPress. How do I add a widget? Check out this video, you know?
Yep, and I'll let you in on a secret too. One of the things that we did was we white labeled the WP 101 videos, which you can buy from them for like a few hundred bucks or whatever. I don't know what cost he has of it right now. It might be more than that, but those are all the videos of how to use WordPress like A to Z. And so all the little stuff that as a theme shop you should not be teaching your customer how to do, like here's how to create a page, here's how to create a post, here's how to like edit a widget. Then you shouldn't be doing that as a theme shop. So you have this set of videos, and you can just direct people, hey, here's a page, and look through these videos, and like if you ask me a question about how to edit a widget, I'm going to send you to this video, right? So that's been pretty cool for us, too. And those videos are great, by the way.
That's smart. definitely smart to have those resources available, like you said. And then you know them, so you know, hey, they're asking generic questions, send them over here. You know, you're not digging through to try to figure out where to send them every time.
Yep, yeah. But
that's awesome.
We actually had a support guy. He actually just moved on to a different job, which I'm bummed about because he was awesome. But so that was helpful as well to help with support, because support can just be, man, it can be a beast.
It's really a beast. And I think it's something that a lot of people, until you've been in that situation and had even a semi-successful product, I don't think you realize it until you've done it once, and then you realize how much of a big chunk of time it can take to handle that.
I think it was WordCamp. It's funny because we were talking about WordCamp San Diego a little bit ago before the show. WordCamp 2011, and we were organizing, Tony and I, along with Chris Daly, but Tony and I get back up to our room the night before after the social event, and we have a customer that signed up, and he's freaking out because he had something like 200 or 300 websites on one server, and he submitted like 200 or 300 tickets to clean all of these sites. So we're going, at the time we're relatively small. There's only a few of us, working through this, and we're going, well, WordCamp's first thing in the morning. I guess we're not getting any sleep now. And it's,
I remember that one. I was at that event. I remember. You and Tony pulled almost an all-nighter, didn't you?
Yeah, it was really sucky. But what do you do, right? You have to, if you don't have the resources, you got to do that. So it's, to me, when I start looking at these things, and the lessons learned for me is that it's important to early on capture a plan and that's executable. It's something that's tangible that you can actually implement to help scale your support as your business grows. If you've got expectations to grow your business X, Y, Z, you better damn well be building in contingencies on how you're going to build that support and support infrastructure to accommodate that. And often I think that's overlooked due to that lack of experience or understanding on how that may work or what really to expect. So food for thought.
Yep. And so along with PressCoders also, we sort of launched it's like a WordPress multi-site install for people to go sign up and make websites. It's called FitPro Sites, and that was kind of an extension of our FitPro theme. We actually built a hosted version of that so that people could set up sites a lot easier. And so that was an interesting venture into the kind of SaaS world, and to see what type of expectations come from that, what that's like, and everything. And sort of having a subscription model and things like that. And the support with that has actually been pretty intense as well. So that was a whole new challenge added on top of the premium theme thing. So
awesome. So you're focusing on themes and pretty designs for the desktop. But now you're focusing a little bit more on
watch the design jokes there, Mr. Cody.
I'm trying to segue, like a nice smooth segue, Dre, and you just killed it. So now you're building beautiful sites and designs for apps, and not just apps, but native apps, mobile apps, tablets, iOS, Android, which is AppPressor, which, full disclaimer before we go into this, I am a partner at AppPressor, so anything I say is absolutely correct, and you should go buy it. But Scott, tell us about it's weird asking questions when you already know the answer, right? But talk to us about AppPress and how that came to be.
So at WordCamp San Francisco last year, Matt Mullenweg was talking a lot about making apps, and he using WordPress as an app platform, and he was doing the same thing in 2012 as well. And when I was actually in the plane home from San Francisco, it kind of just hit me like a ton of bricks, like, why don't we just make mobile apps of WordPress? And I'm pretty sure Matt Mullenweg was actually talking about web apps and not really about mobile apps, but to me it kind of resonated as mobile apps. And I kind of feel like this is something that probably a lot of different people have had pop into their head at one time or the other, but I feel like we're just the first people who kind of executed on it in this way. I know there's other people that have done things with WordPress and mobile apps too, but doing it in this way, I feel like is a little bit new. But so anyways, I kind of realized that this was going to be a cool idea, and this was kind of an open market in WordPress. Like, everybody's doing everything's been done on WordPress for websites pretty much, but using WordPress for mobile apps is kind of a whole new possible market. So anyways, I knew that I needed a really good partner, and so I approached Brad and Web Dev Studios because of their work with the Dallas Museum of Art and the YMCA, and because they've been building WordPress apps. So, you know, ended up approaching them. They wanted to do it. They're interested in using WordPress for apps and stuff. And so we teamed up, and the development team behind Web Dev Studios and with all the guys over there and with me and everything, and we kind of went for it. So,
you know, and I think that there's a general misconception as to the difference between, let's say, something that's mobile ready or responsive and an application or something built into an application. Can you talk to that a bit? Do you run into that at all now at this point, or has it matured enough where the audience that you're aiming at knows that fundamental difference? Are they coming to you to look, hey, can you make my website look responsive, or are they really hitting you and saying, hey, I really need an application, you know, building on a WordPress, AppPressor makes sense?
I definitely think there's still a lot of confusion around AppPressor and WordPress and mobile apps in general. Sure. But yeah, so the thing with AppPressor is to do something inside of an app that you cannot do on a website. So an example of that would be like getting push notifications to your phone, right?
Shuck it, ducky.
You can't do that with a normal website, right? So this is not really just about making stuff look good on your mobile website. It's, say, take the camera. Like, for example, we built a feature that uses the device camera. You press a button, you can take a picture with your camera and upload it straight into WordPress. And you can get push notifications to your phone, which we just launched today, actually. You can use, like, the geolocation feature of the phone. You can use the accelerometer, which is the kind of thing that senses movement. And then there's some other stuff like accessing the file system and, you know, some behind the scenes stuff. But yeah, basically the whole point would be to make something interactive, to kind of complement what your website already is. So like if you have a client who, like, I'm a WordPress developer, I have a client who's a restaurant, right? They have a cool responsive website that I made for them in WordPress. That's great. We leave that the way it is. And then, if you want to say, access your customers while they're on the go, maybe they're not looking at your website while they're walking around town, but say you make a website for them where they can check out your menu and things like that, and then you can send them a push notification when they are within like 5 miles of your restaurant, and it says, hey, here's a coupon for like 50% off appetizers for the next hour. You can do that through an app, but you wouldn't be able to do through a website. Or like, yeah. So things like that, yeah. I mean, apps are all about interactivity. They're about doing stuff that you can't possibly do on a website.
Just like a particular app that we know and love called the Dradcast app, which is actually powered by AppPressor, and it was Scott helped us build it. And by help, I mean Scott built it. how long did the Dradcast app take? Would you start to finish, just actual time working on it?
So I don't know. It was like a few days, I think.
So in a couple of days, we now have a nice Dradcast native application in the iOS store and the App Store, or the Android store, the Play Store. For all of our legions of fans to download and get all of our shows right on their phone, plus our fun sound effects board. So if you don't have that app, you should definitely check it out, because it's a great example of, you know, a very simple app of what you could do, and it's actually running our site. We're running, you know, pulling from our site the shows and stuff like that. So I think it's a great kind of showcase of just a very simple, basic app that you could do.
For a limited time, anybody listening in, you can go download it for free. So
for
go
free.
To the App Store today.
And read the reviews and leave us a couple. The reviews are pretty funny, but we could use some more.
Yeah, so there's a couple of questions in the chat room, so let me address those. So
yeah, we should be asking those. All right, go ahead.
Let me grab one of those for you there, Scott. So when will AppPressor support multi-site with BuddyPress, BBPress on every network site? So that so we can beat up Facebook.
yeah, I believe I know the guy asking that question. We're working on BuddyPress support and multi-site support, so hopefully have that out soon.
One more, actually, really good question. Bart Brent asks, does your device have to be connected to the internet for AppPressor to work?
Yeah, so let me explain how AppPressor works. The way that it works is you have a WordPress site, right? And you can wrap that site in a PhoneGap app wrapper, And then you can, what you're actually seeing is the WordPress site in the app. So if you use like a WooCommerce app, for example, like the House of Rags app, you can, you're seeing the WordPress site and it's using the App Presser features, which switches up the theme to make it look like a mobile app, and then it also allows you to use the PhoneGap API to use like the camera and the geolocation and all that cool stuff. So you do have to be online in that sense to use it. And we are actually working on some offline stuff, like for instance the Dradcast app does actually work partially offline. So that is a feature that we're working on. But it's also, at the same time, is a completely different way to build an app. So traditional apps are built with all the files and everything, all the images and the templates and everything like that is on the phone. And then it pulls in data from the web to kind of fill whatever it needs to be filled, right, the content. So the way that building an app like that is one way to do it, and it's great in some situations. It's also a bit more difficult, and you can't do something like use WooCommerce through it. Just not possible. So the advantage that AppPressor has is it's much faster to develop, and you can also use all the great features of WordPress, like plugins and themes and all that kind of stuff, that wouldn't normally be accessible to you through an app.
I love it, and I'm excited about it. I've got a couple ideas that I may toss on the table and have Brad and you guys build. I'm only a design guy, huh, Brad? I'm just saying. I'm not bitter. Let me ask you this. You got any...
you're not holding on to that for like 2 years now.
No,
not at all.
Actually, 2 years and 3 months, 14 days, but I'm not really counting. I do want to ask...
Forget who has a soundboard, my friend.
Let's throw this on the table. Any upcoming events or anything that we should be aware of you might be at, or things that you might be involved with that an AppPressor might be involved with?
Yeah, so something pretty exciting that just happened recently. You guys have to just kind of keep this a secret. It's just between us three.
Don't worry, nobody watches.
Yeah, but we actually just won recently, or we were selected as one of six finalists to be able to go to Macworld and actually present on stage about our product and be there at the show, which is in San Francisco at the end of this month. And so we're really excited about that. We aren't really officially supposed to announce it until next week, so look for that. But that's going to be really fun, and hopefully we'll get... I think we may be one of very few, or maybe the first people to be repping WordPress at Macworld, so that'll be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, congratulations on that. That is that's wonderful news, and I'm looking forward to creating something with it and upcoming features features that you may be adding. So it looks like it's going to continue to grow. We should be seeing some new cool stuff here soon. With that, fellas, I think this is a good spot to go ahead and move into pressing topics of the week.
Pressing topics of the week.
Oh yeah, it's that time of time of year again. We've got betas starting for the next major release of WordPress, and 3.9 just dropped it like it's hot. I think yesterday, have you guys had the opportunity yet to play around with the new version?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, expand on that, brother. What'd you think? What'd you see? What's going on there?
Yeah, so I checked out. So it's got a lot of cool new features. One of them is the widget customizer. So you can actually go into the theme customizer, and when you open that up, it actually shows you the widgets also. It's like a second panel, or it's a bunch of extra drop-downs that pop down for all your widget areas. So say you have like a header widget area, it'll be a drop-down for that. You can open it up and see what widgets you have in there. You can like reorder them or open them up and edit them and add a widget. And when you click on Add a Widget, it's like this other panel that comes out, and it's just really, really well done. I'm really, really stoked on that. I think they did a great job with it. The amount of drop-downs in the theme customizer, it gets kind of intense if you have a lot of widget areas, which they may add some sort of fix for that or something, but that's really cool. They did some improvements on the TinyMCE editor, which are really cool. So you can actually drag and drop photos into the editor now instead of having to upload them through the media uploader.
That's going to be awesome right there.
Yep, that's going to be great. You can also you can add galleries and actually see, you know how now when you add galleries it's just like a gray box?
Mm-hmm.
Now you actually see the pictures in the gallery that you're editing, which is awesome. It seems like that should have been there all the time, but I know that was probably really difficult to do. But that's awesome. The TinyNCE editor also got an upgrade. It's different now, so all you Microsoft Word users out there, you can copy and paste Microsoft Word without using the paste from Word button.
That's a great feature.
Now, have you guys tried that though? Because I've seen attempts in plugins. I've seen attempts in other software titles out there, and no one seemed to have done this the right way, or in a way that
I don't think it's perfect. I mean, if you have a really complex formatted Word doc and you try to paste it in there, it's not going to be great, right? But I think if you have a kind of a standard doc with, you know, different font sizes, some bullet point lists, some italics and bold, and, you know, stuff like that, I think it seems to do a pretty okay job. The fact that I don't have to tell people to click on kitchen sink and then click on the
yeah, button and
then paste it, they can just paste it right in there is big. So it's much easier for explaining people how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if people are using Microsoft Word, they're probably used to hardship and being mad at their computer, so they'll figure it out.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, overall, I mean, it looks like a great, it's going to be a great release. I think they're targeting about a month out, around April 15th,
mid-April.
I think it's
the
it's a target for release, so they have we'll have a few betas and a few release candidates. There's a couple other items here. Image editing, which is nice. So if you ever upload an image into a post and then decide to edit it, it kicks you out of the post and takes you over to edit it. And then you save it, and then you have to go back into the post and either re-add it, like if it's a featured image or something. So that's kind of nice. You don't have to leave anymore, so you won't lose your spot. And the new audio-video playlists look pretty cool as well. There's also some pretty neat stuff for developers under the hood. I know one of the ones I'm excited about is the add image support. If you use that to define custom image sizes in your theme, you can actually set a crop positioning now. So WordPress, by default, always crops everything from the center. So if it's a picture of someone standing there and it crops from the center, the thumbnail is going to be like their chest. You're not going to see their head or their feet. So you can now define those images and say always crop from the top, always crop from the bottom or the left or the right. So that's going to be a huge improvement for developers when they're building sites and trying to set custom images throughout the site. That's always been a real pain up until now. So.
Yep.
Very excited to see that, but it looks like a good work in progress, and if you want to get involved, now's the time, because there's a lot of bugs that need to be squashed, a lot of things that need to be tested, so they can get more betas out, more release candidates, so check it out, download it, play with it, submit patches, bug reports, whatever you can.
Do it now.
Do it.
To the chopper.
Tell them Dredd sent you.
To the chopper. Yeah, Dredd sent you, go get it, download it. Break it and submit tickets. That is going to be awesome. I mentioned last week we've got at least for security and myself, our team, we've got a pretty strong travel season this year. Something like 30 WordCamps or something worldwide we're going to. One that I had the opportunity to enjoy with Brad last year was WordCamp Europe. One of my favorite WordCamps actually ever. I've been to quite a few, probably in the range of 40 WordCamps over the years. It was a killer time. We were in Europe hanging out. We had dinner in a windmill. That does not happen every day. And it was an amazing time. Now we've just seen some official discussion around WordCamp Europe 2014, and it's heading to Bulgaria. Are you guys going to be attending this?
Oh man, I definitely agree with what you said, Dre. Last year's WordCamp Europe was amazing. It was very enlightening. Just interacting with more international WordPress users, I think, really opens your eyes to some of the challenges and struggles that they have working in WordPress and not English. You know, so I would like to go. I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing it. So as of right now, I'd say no. But I mean, if there's an opportunity for me to go and possibly speak, then we'll see when it gets a little closer, because I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think, Brad, you said San Fran is like a week before or something like that.
It's a month. WordCamp San Francisco, which is kind of like the Mecca WordCamp, is about almost exactly 1 month after. So it's end of October. This is end of September.
Yeah, that's pretty close. I don't know. I probably won't be there, I would guess. But definitely going to San Francisco.
I really love the idea of how they're kind of moving it around. I know Portugal was also mentioned as a potential runner. I think that's awesome. So, you know, if you don't make this one, if I don't make this one, the next year it'll be somewhere else that I would love to visit, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I think it'll be on my, definitely be a camp I go to probably every other year at the very least. But if I can make it happen more often, I definitely would love to. I mean, it's overseas. It's so much fun visiting other countries and learning the culture and eating the food and eating more of the food and drinking a lot of the beer and crying myself to sleep. But no, it's fun.
Well, I think it was more crying when you woke up. I don't know that That's you remember right. falling asleep. Same here. It's on the schedule. It is on the schedule. It's one of the camps that we're going to continue to try to make. We've got folks going to various ones in Europe and even down in Brazil, South America. But WordCamp Europe is one that I'm going to try to personally make every year. So hopefully that stays in the cards. And hopefully I get picked up to speak when it's time to submit. So if you haven't read up on it, there's a lot of amazing back. Articles on last year's event and how cool it went. I mean, there's somewhere around 1,000 people, if I'm not mistaken, or close to it, and it was completely packed from beginning to end entire time. The folks were amazing.
Great time for sure. I'm sure this one will be bigger and better, as they probably will be every year. So different country, different city, different I think different organizers. It'll be neat to see how each area kind of puts their own unique. You know, their unique spin or stamp on it to see how they want to really make it unique to where they're at. So I'm anxious to see. If I don't get to go, I'm definitely anxious to hear about it and see some of the pictures and videos coming out of it.
Booyah. All right. Well, post status just here dropped actually earlier this last week. I think it was after our last show, an article on PushUp. PushUp offers push notification integration for WordPress and macOS, which is pretty slick. I've used a couple different tools over the years to bring push notifications in, not for WordPress specifically. So this is a pretty kind of neat thing. Are you guys using it? Have you seen it, or have you heard of anybody using it yet?
I haven't used it, but I think their site looks awesome. They did a great job, and we should clarify too that there's different kinds of push notifications. So what they're talking about here is push notifications actually to your Mac. I believe it's through Safari or
Safari. Yeah, currently they only support Safari. Sounds like when other browsers enable push notifications, I think Scott, you mentioned maybe Chrome allows those now. I'm not sure, but it sounds like right now it's the service only supports Safari.
Yeah, so like I think Chris Lemma has these. I don't know if it's through this service, but he's the only site that I've actually seen ask me about it. And what happens is when you go to the site, it has a little notification that pops up that says, like, would you like to allow notifications from this website? And so then I think if you allow that, what happens is you get notifications whenever they want to send it to you, like, hey, we wrote a new post, and it's kind of like browse notifications or something like that, actually to your computer. But it's not the same thing as, like, push notifications to a mobile app. That's a different thing.
So, yeah great notification.
It's an interesting service. I'm not a Safari user, so I haven't actually gotten familiar with this. I honestly would use a service like this? Sure, if it's a client wanting to use something like this or want to push notifications. Would I myself sign up for push notifications? Probably not. I mean, I feel like if I want news from a site, and I'm more of a power user, obviously, than probably a lot of the readers of some of these sites, but if I want news, I'm going to be a little more selective of how I get that news. I don't want it just popping up all day long, so I'm going to be probably go more along the lines of RSS readers, things like that. Maybe a newsletter if I just want to catch up once a week. But to have something kind of messaging me all day long about new articles, I would never get any work done because I'd keep reading those posts. But also, interesting note, this is actually the first, I believe, the first premium product from 10Up. So this was built and powered by the team over at 10Up, which is a big WordPress agency out there. So it's kind of neat to see them getting into the premium service and product space, this being their first go at it.
Well, they did the presenter thing, right? The presentations thing? That was 10Up.
That's true. I think that's, I don't know, isn't that free? I could be wrong on that.
No, I think it's paid. but I'm not sure exactly.
Well, someone needs to clarify. Post status says PushUp is SynOps' first product. I do know what you're talking about. It's like SEO slides or something.
SEO slides, yeah. Where's Jake? Why is Jake in the chat room?
Yeah, well, Jake, if you're listening to the show, you could clarify that. I don't know if SEO Slides is a 10UP product or just, I think Jake invested some in it. I'm not sure if it's 10UP specifically, but
oh, okay.
Either way, this is definitely a 10UP product for sure, whether it's their first or second one. We'll figure that out, I guess. but it's pretty neat to see other agencies get in the game. We'll see how it does. I'd be curious to see how it does over the course of a few months. Maybe we'll have Jake on the show one of these days. He can tell us all about it.
So what I'm reading is SEO Slides was the name of that product, and it was in collaboration with another company. If that is accurate, that would be the case.
Well, if our chat room said it, it must be fact, right?
Of course. We saw it on the internet.
Oh, and it was on the Matt Report. So.
Aw, shucking ducky.
Of course it was. His hourly live podcast, 24 hours a day, every day of podcasting.
Sign up for his push notifications.
Push notifications. So who knows? Maybe next time you visit dradcast.com, it'll ask you if you want a notification every time we do something, which is once a week on Wednesdays. You know, but
I wonder, man, we should do that. We should change our tagline, better than the Matt Report. We'll see what happens there. Do you think we'll steal his SEO? Maybe we can use, see the segue? See what I'm doing here? Maybe we can use Yoast's WordPress SEO 1.5, which was a major update that was just released. I got this. Have you guys updated? Are you guys using WordPress SEO?
Yes. Yeah. Wait, what was the first question? Did we update or are you using it?
Well, you better have updated.
No, I haven't updated. And the reason being, anytime I read major update, I usually let it sit for a couple days and see what the chatter is, you know, or at least a week. So I haven't updated. I think there were a few little kinks they're working through and probably have worked out. I mean, they have a really solid team over there. So.
Oh, for sure. Dude, any team with a developer named Taco is okay with me.
We love Taco.
Yes, sir. But it looks like some cool stuff. I mean, anything from speed improvements, which is always welcome. In some instances, on the XML sitemap generation, for example, leading up to 70% decrease in the number of queries used to generate the index sitemap, which is pretty sick. A new bulk editor and a bunch of other smaller updates to social features like Google+ and even Twitter and their Open Graph stuff. So if you're using it, I would definitely recommend checking it out. Maybe test it, like Brad was saying, being it is a major release, before you put it into production, but update soon. It should.
This is hands down probably my favorite SEO plugin right now. I mean, Yoast is just doing a great job.
I would agree. So. Yeah.
Loving it, using it. We have it on our site. We have it on the Dradcast. I mean, it's awesome.
Yep, it's on AppPressor.
Oh, yeah, it's on AppPressor. Well, that's good stuff, good stuff.
Oh, man. Do we? Dare we?
Yeah, we shouldn't.
Oh, we can go into bar tricks.
It's a little early. Well, so...
let's do it. So.
Yeah, go ahead, Brad. We crack another beer.
So, W Tavern wrote a great article. Well, it's interesting because there is apparently a big denial of service attacks that was happening across a lot of WordPress sites. Roughly, I don't know, 162,000 is the number I read, reported by a firm called Curie. You guys might have heard of. Andre, you could probably speak to that a little bit, but basically, there are a lot of sites out there that had XML RPC enabled and had pingbacks and trackbacks enabled, and those sites were being actively used to kind of target and attack other sites. Did I nail that right, Dre? Is that pretty much what was going down there?
Yeah, it's the pingback. Pingbacks is the issue, not so much XML RPC, but inherently, XML RPC is the protocol used by pingbacks.
Pingbacks, right. So obviously this is a big issue and a bad deal, but what really caught my eye is the question of who the hell still uses pingbacks? Like, what is this? And Jeff mentioned this in the post. It's like, who uses pingbacks and trackbacks? And do they need to be on by default? Is that something that WordPress should consider either turning off by default with an option to turn on or just getting rid of altogether? I mean, I'd like to know, do you guys use pingbacks, trackbacks? Do you value those? Do you think there's still a place for them in WordPress, or at least on by default in WordPress?
I think that there's always going to be value to kind of understand who's out there, who's connecting to you and such. I think that's kind of a neat thing. But not to the extent of the value that was there maybe in the early WordPress days, where it was like, a couple thousand, you know, blogs out there. It's like, oh, cool. Joe connected to me and, you know, posted on my about my stuff. That's pretty neat. It is an open web, and I like that interaction, that open kind of, hey, that feel of, you know, so-and-so is talking about our stuff or has, you know, linked back and such. I think that's exciting. I don't like it at the extent of the potential security risks that it may stem from it. In this instance, although maybe obscure, it is something that has been exploited. It's been an ongoing question that's been open in tickets dating back many years. There are things that have changed in recent releases of WordPress, but it doesn't change the fact that this still exists. Now, those were the numbers that we had, 160,000 websites used to attack one specific site using this thing. We've got other reports stemming in the quarter to half million, and those are not necessarily any of the ones, or we haven't completely correlated the data to see if those are all the ones that that were in the networks, that our network that the of information that we were able to provide right through our analysis. So I think it's a bigger thing that we're giving it credit for or credit to. I think that we shouldn't be closing our eyes to this type of stuff. I don't know if the value is there big enough to outweigh the potential risks that we run into with it. And I think that, you know, ultimately we should put that power in the user's hands. If there's an ability to turn off that function or filter this out a different way that reduces risk, I'd be all for it.
Yeah, I think if you look at the comments in the Tavern post, O's Richards left a good comment. He basically said pingbacks and trackbacks were fun when there were a few thousand blogs globally. It helps you find others, you know, each other that were interested in your content. Before there were so many, you know, spam blogs auto-syndicating content. He basically said he killed them years ago. Because it's right, as soon as you, if you post something that gets kind of picked up in those spam networks, you'll get 100 pingbacks from literally sites just copying other people's content and the links back to your site and posting them, and then all of a sudden you get a pingback because of it. So, I mean, it's been abused. Like, if everybody was nice and there are no spammers and everybody played by the rules, these things would be awesome, right? But that's not life. That's not how things work. There will always be spammers and people looking to exploit. So I for one think they should be in WordPress, but I think they should be off by default. It's time to kill them.
Yep, I'm over it. Get rid of them.
Well, there's that. So let's
move. Put them up against the wall. I got it. I got it.
Oh, man. Done. That hurts my soul. Let's...
Oh, simmer down. That sounds like the Dradcast app, which you could have in your pocket. Bring Dre a Drad everywhere you want to go.
I just opened up another beer, so Brad, why don't we move on to Bart Tricks?
Let me show you a bar trick.
So I'm gonna go ahead and go first because it kind of bleeds over from that last discussion, which was distributed denial of service attacks, DDoS, and the whole pingback thing. Tony Perez from Security dropped a really, really neat post today that it kind of differentiates, which I think often are confused between denial of service attacks and brute force attacks, which some of those can be kind of protected against at least at low levels of traffic on your WordPress site through some plugins, like things like, let's say, limiting the amount of failed login attempts on your WP admin could reduce the chance of some type of brute force attack there. Now, there's a fundamental difference between that and a denial of service, which the intent is to explode your site or take it down and kill the availability leg of the security triad. Where in brute force attacks, typically they're trying to gain some type of access, for whatever reason, into your environment. When you're talking about denial of service, it's a challenging thing to actually control or to defend once you're inside the environment, right? Because what you're ending up doing or essentially allowing is all that traffic to enter your server already, and then you're trying to block it from entering your site, right? Like, so that's cool. You may block a brute force attack like that, but you're certainly not going to minimize the risk of being taken offline because of all that traffic bombarding your server. Now, the hopes would be that you, at closer to the edge, your hosting provider would stop some of that stuff, but one of the things you could do is stop it even further out. In any event, with this blog post, it talks about the differences between denial of service, distributed denial of service attacks against what we would call a brute force attack. So go check that out if you get a chance.
Very cool. What do you got over there, Scott?
So I have two. I don't know if you guys...
Now we're bending the rules a little bit. What do you think? Because you're hosting, you can do whatever you want?
It's my show, right?
Suckers.
That's true. That's true. Go ahead. You got it.
Did you guys already cover Justin's Basecamp highlighter? Did somebody already do that one?
No. Do it.
I don't think so.
Okay, so let me post this in the chat room. So this thing is awesome. So Justin Sternberg made this thing, and basically if you go to Basecamp and you have, say you have just like a giant Basecamp where you have like a zillion tasks and they're all super unorganized like we have for AppPressor, then you just go there, you add this bookmark that he has. All you do is just drag it into the bookmark bar, you go to Basecamp and you just click on it, and all of a sudden it highlights all of your tasks. It just goes boom, like all of them are yellow that are yours.
That's
it. Really cool. So it's super easy to use, really, really cool, and Justin is amazing, so definitely check that out.
Definitely amazing. Yeah, he puts out some quality work, so I can only assume that this kicks ass just like the rest of his stuff.
Yep, do it, get it. Okay, so my second one is the Ionic framework, which is a hybrid app development framework. This has nothing to do with WordPress, but it's just really cool. It's a framework they made with AngularJS, and they included all the UI elements and everything like that, which you can actually make hybrid HTML5 apps using this and PhoneGap. And it's really, really cool, and if you want to get into mobile app development, this is a really cool place to start. If you know some JavaScript, it's fairly easy to get started. Can get complex, but this is kind of a place that gives you like a 1,000-hour head start kind of thing.
Orale.
Well, I have a bar trick this week, shocker, right? So this is the plugin, and this plugin's been around for a little while, and it's got quite a few downloads, but I thought it was pretty neat. I hadn't heard of it, and we just started using it. The plugin's called Editorial Calendar. It's on WordPress.org. So basically it's a calendar, so you can kind of at a quick glance see your posts and what you have scheduled. So assuming you want to have a certain number of posts each week in a month or certain days in a month, you can kind of schedule your posts and visually see those in a nice calendar. You can drag and drop. So you can drag a post from one date to another date and it will update the scheduled date for that post. You can see what times are scheduled for. So it's really cool if you're trying to get on a more strict blogging schedule. And at a glance, a much easier glance than just a traditional list in WordPress, you can see it in a calendar view of what you have going on, what's coming up, easily drag things around. It's pretty neat. It's free. It's been downloaded almost 400,000 times, so pretty popular. But check it out, Editorial Calendar.
Aw, Chucky Ducky. That's the third time I've said that today because it's all up in my head. All up in Atlanta this weekend will be Tony Perez. If you're not attending WordCamp Atlanta, you're going to miss out. You're going to have to wait for the WordPress.tv stuff.
But Atlanta.
March 15th through the 16th, some really big names there. If you're attending, I think you're going to get your money's worth really quickly into the event. Really, what you should be concentrating on is WordCamp Miami. There's a lot of really cool events coming up, but WordCamp Miami, not only is it to be featuring security discussions by moi and Mr. Brad, but there's also going to be an epic, crazy podcast panel, including the Drad, and a lot of your other favorite WordPress podcasts. So it's going to be exciting. If you haven't bought a ticket, I don't even know. Actually, are they selling the tickets yet? I don't even know yet. Make sure to go check out the site.
Tickets are on sale. Definitely get them because I think they're getting there. They're running. They're going to sell out for sure.
Well, it's their fifth anniversary, so they're going big or going home. They're gonna rock it out.
The speaker list is amazing.
Yeah, certainly. WordCamp Philly coming up as well in June. A lot of events. Go over to wordcamp.org, man. There's just a crazy amount of events between now and the summer. So go check it out, Mr. Scott. Episode 036. You are an amazing man, senor, and I love you. Glad to see what you're doing. Glad to be a part of all of your experiences and successes. This is really cool. Where can people find you? Where should they contact you?
At Scott Bollinger on Twitter and at Presser.com.
I love it. Well, hey, good luck to you and at Presser. Folks, if you get a chance, head over to Macworld. I think it's next month. Go check it out. He'll be presenting about AppPressor on stage, and he's going to crush it. Mr. Brad, where can we find you, my brother?
Yes, Twitter, Williams, B-A.
Williams BA, and I am Dre Maida. No, folks, there won't be a WordPress rap battle at
Yes, there Miami. Will.
And we will not be in school. Rap battles of history. Oh, man, I'll tell you. Well, for the Rad and the Doctor of Dread, I'm Dre, and we're out.
Peace.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dreadcast. Dread.